Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and there are four questions that perhaps you have asked yourself in your life, and I'm taking these questions from the book that my guest, Dr. Linda Backman, has published, taking it from it directly, because I'm sure you've asked these questions of yourself. What is the purpose of your current life? What happens when you die? Does experiencing deja vu indicate that perhaps you've lived before? And do you have past lives that are affecting your current life? My guest, Dr. Linda Backman, her wonderful book, Bringing Your Soul to Light, Healing Through Past Lives and the Time in Between. Whether or not you believe in reincarnation, well, that's your choice. But why not be open to the possibilities of experience much more than what you have ever known in this current life? Dr. Backman, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's nice to be here.
May I call you Linda?
Oh, please.
All right. Linda, I was so intrigued when I first opened the book to be aware of a very special foreword by C. Norman Shealy, and how this physician, who is currently the president of Holos University Graduate Seminary, and he's also the president of the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energy and Energy Medicine, and he's the founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association, the experiences that he went through himself, and he wrote the foreword to your book, was absolutely fascinating. And I thought, what a wonderful way for you to open your book to a topic that, my goodness, as far as I know, has always been controversial, especially in the Western world, not so much in the Eastern, but in the Western world. But you yourself have had some very special experiences. You have been in practice since 1978. You had some very significant experiences regarding your premature death and, birth and death of your second child. You've been involved in regression, hypnotherapy. You are a fascinating woman with such a unique background. Will you share your story about how this journey began for you?
I will share it and try to make it relatively short, if that's possible. So my story in brief is I'm a psychologist by training. I've been in practice since the late 70s. For about half of those 31 years, I was in general private practice. Loving to do different kinds of things, couples work, chronic pain work, the kinds of things you might imagine a general psychologist does. My fascination always has been death, dying, and grieving. And that all started when I was about 25 years old and my husband of almost 42 years, actually, next week, our second baby was born prematurely and lived a short time and then, now I would say, crossed over. So at that point, I became interested in grieving, but I hadn't yet dived into the pool of spirituality per se. So then in the early 90s, I was practicing in Arizona in a group practice with two other psychologists and a psychiatrist. And the male psychologist in our group, the rest of us were women, was diagnosed in his early 30s with a terminal type of lung cancer. He fought that cancer for about 17 months, and in the spring of 1993, he left his body. Again, I would have said died before these experiences started happening for me. Today, I would say he transitioned. He crossed over. Within 24 to 48 hours, Donna, I had two experiences related to my colleague, whose nickname was Bud.
Mm-hmm.
I started sensing his presence. He had just barely left the earth, left his body, and I started sensing that he was around me, that he was communicating with me. He actually was, my husband was experiencing a similar kind of thing because they were friends and golfing buddies. Well, I didn't know what to do with this. I thought it was pretty strange. I thought maybe I was kind of losing it, but I sort of knew that I was probably too old to, you know, be completely crazy since that hadn't happened as yet to me. I was in my middle 40s. I also started having what I now call spontaneous past life bleed through, meaning I started having visions of past lives that Bud and I had shared together. So the bottom line was I was rather spooked, and on the other hand, I was fascinated. So I started reading anything and everything I could put my hands on. I visited a medium for the very first time in my life who validated some of what I was experiencing. And I decided that I had to add elements into my practice that included helping people who were grieving to know that when someone dies, their soul consciousness remains. They are available. They've simply stepped out of their body. And so in the beginning of the shift, I then learned how to guide past life progression, and I started guiding just that. And then a few years later, I learned about between lives regression, or guiding a client beyond a past life, beyond the time that we complete and end a past life, into the time when we're pure soul, to come to know who are we as a soul? What are we doing here? Where have we been before? Who have we been with before? What's our purpose? And that kind of thing. So today I do primarily individual regressions. I train people in past life and between life regressions. I lecture about it, and I have published a book this year about it. And the bottom line to just say to the listening audience is that this work is therapeutic. It's to understand who are we today, what are we doing, and why in our lives today. So that's a kind of a short but long version.
Let's backstep a little bit into okay. what you've shared about yourself. Your friend Ben, when you started sensing him, can you describe how you sensed him? I think it's important for some of our listeners to know that everybody can experience things in a particular way that for them is very unique. But I think when we can share how it was experienced, did you feel physically? Did you see through the mind? Did you actually see him with your eyes? What was it that made you aware of him where you were saying, I must be going loony, but I know I'm not?
Right, right. Well, I think, you know, we first have to realize that we are all intuitive and that it isn't a unique and special skill that one person has and the other person doesn't. The problem is we live in a culture that doesn't support it. So mm-hmm. we're not taught to believe we can be clairvoyant, we can be clairaudient. Obviously, seeing visions sort of in the back of our mind or with our eyes closed, hearing almost, we don't truly hear something, but it feels like we hear it. We might be clairsentient, which means we feel emotion and we realize that's tied perhaps to the presence of a soul, of the spirit of a loved one. Sometimes we sense almost physical touch that we can't deny. And then the other intuitive or you know, clair, as in clairvoyant, clairaudient, the other clair capability that I had to put a name to because there isn't a word for it is called what I call claircognitive, which means we just thoughts come into our mind and we have to learn to trust that they're not necessarily thoughts we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I first started sensing my colleague, one, it was rather clairsentient. I had emotions that just made me feel like he was present. I'm also, I would say, rather claircognitive. These thoughts were coming into my mind like, be sure to get the key to our office back from his wife. Things just as ridiculous and mundane
mm-hmm.
as that. I also felt an incredibly intense sense of loving energy coming from him to me. And that's very common for souls who have crossed over to basically project energetically that they love us, that they're still present. So it was really a whole combination of sensory experiences. Also, sometimes souls connect with us energetically. They make doorbells ring and there's no one there. They turn our radio on in the car. They make a particular song come on the radio. They turn lights on and off, that kind of thing.
Oh, yes. I've had a number of those experiences myself, so I can totally identify with what you're saying. But I always think it's good when we can share that with people.
Sure.
So if they, for example, are having some particular experiences and say, oh, it's just my imagination, instead of saying it's just my imagination, they learn to listen. And like you said, trust, that it's very important, bypassing old indoctrination, to be aware that this is something we all are inherently born with, but we may have to rediscover it dependent on whatever our cultural background is, whatever our social environment is, because there are a lot of people that have become very fearful and dependent on whatever their basis of education has been, as well as personal experience. They may not have anybody really they can talk with. So I think our conversation today is extremely important. You bring up how children will often recall past lives, and I have talked with a number of parents through the years who have had some very interesting experiences with a two-year-old or a three-year-old saying, who were you before you came here? And sometimes the answers really surprise them. One woman was told by her baby daughter, well, I nursed you when you were so, you know, just things that were coming out of this child's mouth that just absolutely blew her away. And she realized that her daughter of just a couple of years, almost 3 years of age, was really her former mother who had died at a young age. And it was a quite an experience for her. She said there had been a series of very special circumstances she had gone through, and it was very comforting to her. Because it's as if she had been taken care of through some very unique circumstances. Her mother then passed away when she was young, and she said, here I am, I'm able to take care of her now.
And it's just
very interesting.
And that's how it works, you know. It's like we sort of reverse roles sometimes. It's not always parent-child and then child-parent, but that's rather common. And, you know, it's the classic out of the mouths of babes. They often come to teach us as much as we teach them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you go into a number of different factors in your book. You talk about the benefits, and we've covered that a little bit. Many times it enables people to understand why they have certain fears or certain things, why they will be so repulsive to them. And they have an identification process, but they don't realize that it's because of the memory that they've brought in with them. There's a section in your book regarding the benefits that I think we should mention. It says, be aware of how attracted you are to certain indicators, geographic locations in the world, maybe particular events or historical times that absolutely fascinate you, certain foods. Are there any particular historical figures that you relate to? What about the people in your life? Some people feel like they're born into families and they wonder, what planet was I dropped in from, into this space? I mean, I don't relate to any of these people at all. I feel like I'm some kind of a misfit. And they've come into that family. They have absolutely no recognition with them. But yet maybe through that family, they meet individuals where they have some kind of a link. And it's fascinating, and even styles of clothing. And I think this is so much fun, that particular point. I am involved with Renaissance Fair activities, and I find it interesting to see the characterizations people will choose. And it is fascinating why they are comfortable with them. So there's an identification process that goes on relative to that. I'm very intrigued with the whole thing. It's just marvelous. Of course, I believe in it, but I know maybe some of our listeners don't think it's a bunch of hooey, but you back up a lot of your information in your book with some very good details, and you talk about a fifth dimension. Describe that and explain that to my listeners.
Well, the fifth dimension, people often talk about third, fourth, and fifth dimension. So what that means is it's just a languaging way of saying third dimension is viewed as the earth. It's viewed as when we're incarnate, when we reside here on earth. Then there's a dimension between, we might say, between earth and the divine realm that we call fourth dimension. This is the dimension at times where spirits can communicate to us from. It's sort of an in-between, so to speak, and I don't mean between lives related to my book. Fifth dimension is basically the spiritual realm. It's where we cross over into spirit. This is what happens at the ending of every one of our lives. Our soul is basically a fragment of divine energy, and so when we physically die, if we use that everyday human word, then the soul that enervates the human body, that causes us to be alive, that divine fragment that we call soul, that energy leaves our body and returns to the spiritual realm and basically reconstitutes with what is often called our higher self, which is our soul that always remains in spirit. So a question that I often am asked when I'm in doing some grief counseling with someone, like, for example, it's a wife, and her husband died at age 52, and maybe, you know, she's 51. So she comes in for grief counseling, and she says, I'm very worried and concerned because I really believe that souls assist us when we cross over, which actually is explained many, many times in the regressions that I guide. But see, she says, so maybe I'll live to be 85. Does that mean if my spouse reincarnates, that my beloved spouse is not going to be there to assist me? The answer is, obviously if you believe in reincarnation, even if the spouse has reincarnated, the soul always remains in spirit, even when we're in body. So a beloved spouse can welcome the other spouse, the remaining spouse who's been in body for a longer period of time, even if reincarnation has happened. So our soul leaves our body, it rejoins, it's a holographic portion of our soul energy in spirit, our higher self, our super consciousness is what that's usually called, and we simply return back into the spiritual realm for some period of time.
You have a quote by Jack London that I really like. This is how it reads, I did not begin when I was born, nor when I was conceived. I've been growing, developing through incalculable myriads of millenniums. All my previous selves have their voices, echoes, promptings in me. Oh, incalculable times again shall I be born. So many people in their writings will make statements like Jack London did, and often they're missed. People will resonate with what they have a sense of identity with. And throughout your book, you have a number of cases of people where they've had significant involvement in finding out about who they are. Is there any particular case that comes to your mind that was especially dramatic and meaningful to you that made you aware of many things that you had not anticipated?
So it might be helpful in answering that question, Donna, to just differentiate the two types of regression work that I do in order to answer that question. Because
okay.
Because the types of regression work are similar and different. So the second part of my title says healing through past lives and the time between. When clients come, sometimes they come for what is called a past life regression, or what I prefer to call a past life soul regression, because it's information at the soul level. And that basically means that the client comes in, we use some light relaxation. Most all clients are able to go into light relaxation, what we call light trance. And essentially, the guides and teachers of that client decide to show the client a particular past life that has some relationship to life today. It's never meant to be punitive. It's always meant to enlighten and explain something about how life is going today to the client. So that's a past life regression. A longer version of that is what we call between lives regression or between life soul regression. And that's when I guide the client into a light state of relaxation, taking a bit more time to guide them than I do in a past life regression, to take them into a little bit quieter state. Then we go to a past life. We step through whatever past life has been chosen at the soul level for the client to experience. We go all the way to the ending, actually the dying day of that life. Then the client experiences the soul leaving the body, stepping out of the body in that past life, and the client then is in the time between lives when they are pure spirit. Then they can come to understand, how did they plan their current life? You know, what I said earlier, for what purpose are they in their current life? It might be, you know, in reference to your comment about sometimes we feel like we've been dropped into this family and we don't belong. So for what reason did I choose this soul to be my mother, or I contracted with this soul to be my father? Who have I incarnated with many times before? How am I doing? What did I come into life truly to do? You know, do I need healing? Sometimes intense healing is provided by the spiritual realm. So, all that said, to think back through cases, there are so many different examples. At times we discovered, used maybe one example, there are many of us who might say we have conflict with someone in our life. So we might say, you know, I married this spouse, and when I first married this spouse, I felt very in love with this person, and now we have so much conflict. This person acts more like my child and wants me to be the parent, just to give an example.
Mm-hmm.
But I deeply love this person, and I really don't want this relationship to end. So the client comes in for a past life regression, puts out as their intention to learn more about whether they've had a past life with, let's just say, the soul of their spouse. I'll just put in the caveat that I never have the power to make it happen that the client will access a life tied to the current spouse. It might be the guides and teachers of that client will choose another life that they think is related to a subject they feel is more needed or prominent right now for the client. So we never know for sure. But what happens at times is the client goes into the past life and they discover that the spouse was a child of theirs, and I've certainly uncovered this, where the child died very, very young. The child died perhaps at age 5 or 6. And so the client and the spouse need to work through those issues, gain that understanding, and then rebalance the relationship so they're equal adults and not parent and child. So that's just one example.
Mm-hmm.
There are many examples, as you know, in my book. There must be 80 cases or something that. I haven't counted them.
Yes, there's so many. Now, you also bring out a couple of terms, or I would say a grouping of words. Neural net, which is the nervous system of universal consciousness, and also the DNA of the Tao. Go into that a little bit.
Okay. Well, neural net really relates to, and, you know, obviously you have listeners, I'm sure, at all stages and steps along the way of learning about spiritual focus and learning about the soul. Neural net really relates to what some people call sacred geometry. And what that means, actually, I'm going to stop for a minute. I'm going to backtrack because I think sometimes for listeners there's one piece that I need to say that's important before we dive into this. And that is that there really is no conflict, in my opinion, with the work of past life regression and belief in a divine power, whatever you call that, God, Great Spirit, the Source, because this work is all guided from that highest level. So I just want to say to the listeners that I don't see this work in conflict at all with any perspective on what we label as the highest level of divinity. So basically, the neural net is related to the fact that in the spiritual realm, there really is a sacred structure that some spiritual cosmologies describe in geometric or physics terms that we often call sacred geometry. It's really just a way of describing how the spiritual realm works, because the spiritual realm is energetic, so you can be described in something that sounds a bit more left-brained. I'm remembering a client now as I talk where this client was talking about what happened when their soul was preparing to step into the body of the fetus in utero. And the client said, I wish I had my notes in front of me and I could literally read this to the audience, but the client said, as a soul, when I was preparing to enter the body of this baby, I touched in with the brain, the literal physical brain of the baby, and I had to do a little bit of energetic reworking of that literal brain, the literal, both the physiology of the brain and the energetics of the brain, before as a soul I could more easily attach and be the soul that was going to innervate that baby prior to birth. Absolutely fascinating information. So the neural net is just a geometric way of describing the energetics of the soul and how the soul attaches to the body. So that, it's interesting how clients, the word neural net comes from more than one client who's described it in that manner.
Well, I know we've just got about two minutes here where we'll be able to chat, and then I want to be sure and give out your information. What about the DNA of the Tao?
The DNA of the Tao, I really believe that our souls that are part of the Tao is another word for divine force or God. Each of us, again, is a fragment. Our soul is a fragment of the Tao or of divine energy. I believe we carry spiritual DNA. So what that means is, just as we carry physiological DNA biologically, that our soul carries spiritual DNA that relates to all of the past experiences that we have had in various lives and the time between, and we bring that DNA into life with us. And, I'll give an example. I was just in Europe working, and one of my favorite countries is France, and so part of the time I was in France, I feel so comfortable there. I actually have uncovered more than one past life in France. When I'm there, I was born in America, I'm an American, but I feel like I also belong in France. That's because in my spiritual DNA, I carry the memory, the imprint, of having lived there before. We might carry the imprint of knowing someone. So if the listeners think about, if listeners have perhaps more than one child, we have different feelings and different relationships with each of our children or with our friends. If you don't have children, think of it about friends or family members, where there's a different quality of connectedness that's tied to spiritual DNA and how we've known that person before as a soul, or how we've not known them at all before.
Fascinating as a subject. There are so many things that could be discussed relative to this, and your book, I think, brings forth some very good points of information. You talk about human experience, free will, life direction. There's so many aspects that, as a woman that is, along with your husband, been very committed and dedicated to being involved, not just in one-on-one, but also in doing research with this, so it can bring a healing component into people's lives on various levels. Now, this is Dr. Linda Backman that we have been speaking with today. Bringing Your Soul to Light is the title of her book. Go to the website, bringingyoursoultolight.com. And that's bringing your, Y-O-U-R, soul to light, and that's T-O-L-I-G-H-T. You will find a lot more information. And Dr. Backman, I want to thank you so much for being with me today. I think you have spoken very clearly and very succinctly, and your material is comfortable for anyone to read, and I think the stories that you have put in of people that you've actually worked with and the difference that it has made, past life regression has made for them, is quite significant. I wish you continued success.
Thank you so much, Donna, for having me on the program.
It's been a delight.
Thank you.
Again, this is Dr. Linda Backman, B-A-C-K-M-A-N, the book, Bringing Your Soul to Light, and go to that website, same title, bringingyoursoultolight.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a little bit. Don't go away. Lots of good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and you're more than welcome to give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the worldwide telephone number you can call in to, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. If you're a first-time listener, we're delighted to have you as a part of our listening audience today. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, all you need to know is that when you call in and I answer the phone line, I just want your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me tell you what I perceive. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from as well. And then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that's of interest to you. And remember, there's no such thing as a dumb question. I've had people send me emails and say, oh, Donna, do I have to do this or do I have to do that? Don't make it complicated. This is something that's really quite simple. If there's a question you have about anything, anyone, put it out on the table. If I can't answer it, I'll tell you. If I can, I'll give you that as well. Again, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I want to thank those of you who have sent me email stories, et cetera. I'm going through, I have about 700 emails that I still have to get through after being on a business trip for quite a few days. It's amazing how those add up. So I'm trying to get through them as quickly as I can. But I received these cute comments and I thought I would share them with you. And this is from Gary and Francis. They said, you only need two tools in life, WD-40 and duct tape. If it doesn't move and should, use the WD-40. If it should not move and does, use the duct tape. Duct tape is amazing stuff. I'm telling you, it's just an incredible material. And then this one I really liked. It said, if you love something, set it free. Unless it's chocolate. Never, ever release chocolate. Apparently, Rene Duvall made a comment of that kind, and I can understand those sentiments entirely. They are very good ones. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-815-9756. I wanted to let you know about my guests for the rest of this week. Tomorrow, well, those of you involved in the dating game, you're not going to want to miss Marla Martinson. We're going to be talking about good dates, bad dates. Yes, you'll have some insights on what to do. And then also a subject that touched my life in so many different ways, not just through clients, but also through my own family. And what is that subject? Alcoholism. And my father had a major problem with it. And this is about a cure. Yes, a cure for alcoholism. Roy Escapa is going to be calling in from Europe. This man travels all over the world, letting people know that there is hope. If someone that you know and love has been battling alcoholism and they just have tried everything and they think there's no way or there's nothing that can be done, you're not going to want to miss this interview. It is really going to be insightful. So, Barry, you've got it. Those are the guests that are coming up. Then again, you can give me a call if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Well, school is out in so many different parts of the country. I know here in the Pacific Northwest, this is the last week of school, and so lots of people are preparing to travel. Well, having just gotten back from the East Coast myself, I realized how many of us are out there traveling, and we're so fortunate. We take so much for granted today. It wasn't all that long ago that to get from one part of the country to another really was very, very difficult, even with plane travel. Today, we have nonstop flights that take us from the West Coast to the East Coast, and we get irritated if our bags are delayed or something comes up. Again, we take a lot for granted. Well, it's important to know that as a traveler, you need to be prepared. And if you're getting ready to make some trips, be alert to the fact that if you order a car, for example, you're getting a rental car, don't do what I did and just assume that you made all of your entries correctly. You might have inadvertently hit a wrong date and end up, when you go to get your rental car, finding you're going to pay three times the amount you need to pay. Book early, but make sure you check and double-check your date so that you don't have anything via the Internet that is not correct, because if you don't double-check on it, you might end up paying a hefty price, as I did one time. Also, if you're going to use a travel agent, so many people are booking directly online because with many of the airlines, rather than using some of these different companies that are promoted as being able to save you a lot of money, you actually save more money when you go directly to the airline itself. It could be different, but it doesn't hurt to check all angles. If you're going to use a travel agent, make sure they are the real thing. And make sure that they are compliant with whatever your state requirements might be. Now, regulations, those that are travel agents, regulations vary from state to state. So you need to find out what it is that a travel agent in your part of the country is required to be licensed for and what they have to be able to represent to be able to do that. Also, you always want to do your travel with a credit card rather than a cash or a debit card. Do not use your debit card because under U.S. law, credit card holders have the right to request a charge back, a refund, on their accounts for travel services that are not delivered as promised. Now, the credit card company, of course, must agree that your situation is chargeback worthy. But what it will do, if nothing else, it will give you a level of leverage. But do not use a debit card, because when you use your debit card to cover anything for travel, you're going to find that you are not going to have any recourse if there should be an error. Or if you have a problem, you're not going to be able to get the refund. So be aware. credit cards have their place. And for traveling, boy, it's a great way of keeping records on everything. So if you are doing business like I was, you will have a record of every single expense that needs to be there. And you've got it both in the credit card statement as well as in the receipts that you've got. Also, you might want to find out if your state has a restitution fund, and there are travel-related consumer advocate groups. And there is a group in California called the California Travel Consumer Restitution Fund, and they compensate consumers who purchased air or sea travel, either alone or in conjunction with other travel services, from a registered California travel agent and who didn't get what was promised. And if you believe you're eligible to receive compensation, these travel-related consumer advocate groups can really help you by assisting you with a claim if that needs to be done. Travel protection, this is something you might want to consider dependent on your circumstances. You might want to protect maybe some big investments in property with a travel protection plan. It can protect you against possible supplier default, a bankruptcy, medical evacuation, treatment, cancellations. You know, sometimes things happen. Think of the tsunamis that have hit various places. Think of hurricanes. I mean, all kinds of stuff can go on. So if you're traveling, you might want to consider that. But be sure that you will get your travel insurance through a reputable provider, one that is not self-insured, that otherwise their shortcomings may end up becoming yours. You may not be covered at all. And remember, when you're flying, when you're going anywhere where there are, you know, security regulations, be aware you can be hit with a fine of up to $10,000 if you carry something that you're not supposed to. And whatever you do, don't argue with a screener because they will fine you if you do that. The key is be nice, be casual, be relaxed. And if something isn't right, usually I don't have any problems at all. There's just one of those things. Once in a while, you might forget that you've got something in your case, and all you have to do is say, hey, I've got this. Can this go through? Can I mail it back to myself? What can I do? And they'll tell you, and they'll assist you. If you need to go out, one time I had an item that I forgot that I had packed on, and they said, all you have to do is put it in an envelope, go to XYZ spot, mail it back to yourself, and you'll have it. That's exactly what I did. No problem. They allowed me to get back into the security line in a special route. It was just great. So just be aware, these things can happen. We can make mistakes, but you don't need to be argumentative about it. Check baggage at your own risk. Legal recourse for mishandled baggage claims is not, you know, too positive for you because you may not be reading what's on your ticket. Airline regulations prohibit compensation for almost any claims, especially for high dollar and for somewhat fragile items such as laptop computers, jewelry, and electronics. Those things that are really precious to you, carry them with you. Carry them with you. Don't put them in your checked package. I know people who have items disappear because there are a lot of people handling bags, and locking bags anymore unless you have one of those special locks just isn't going to make it. Isn't going to keep it from maybe disappearing out of your bag. So be aware. There's also Rule 240, an airline's delay and cancellation policy. Well, you may be able to utilize that if something comes up that's totally out of your control and the airline itself has no way of getting you out. So there may be a compensation under Rule 240. And know your bump rights. That's right. Many times they overbook flights. People don't show up, et cetera, so they overbook. I heard that when I was coming in from my flight from the East Coast, and I was hearing the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, the flight is already full. We have availability for those of you that are willing to take a later flight. We will give you a free trip, so on and so forth. All kinds of things like this can be going on, so be aware of your bump rights. Document if you have any kind of an incident that you feel you need to be really compensated for. You've got to document everything. You'll have to detail a chronology of the events leading up to the problem. And you, if you're going to go to an attorney, you have to have documents relating to the issue. And realize there are a lot of things that don't have to be a problem if you just take it easy and relax. Remember, you're able to go in just a few hours from one point of the country to another. Be grateful that you're not in a covered wagon. Traveling really today is, I think, absolutely an incredible experience. And when I think of the amenities that we have today that weren't around, wow, my grandparents didn't have anything close to that when they were traveling from coast to coast. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. By the way, the gentleman that provided this information was a guest on my show not too long ago, Jeff Isaac. He is the lawyer in blue jeans that was a guest on my show last week. So these are some tips that he provided for travel. We're taking a break. We're going to be back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I do have some programming that's going to be coming up shortly, and I will be letting you know where the interviews will be, and we're going to be discussing different topics. I just was advised today that there is going to be another interview coming up with another station. So I'll fill you in on all the details as I get that information. Also, there are some of you that have been sending me emails saying you want private appointments with me. If you're wise, you will call me. You'll reach me a lot more quickly. I have got hundreds of emails that I'm having to go through, and it's just going to take me some time because I'm busy reviewing stuff, getting ready for the show, and meeting with people privately with counseling. So if you want to make an appointment with me, just call my office directly. That's the quickest way and easiest way to reach me, no matter what your time zone is. So the number to call is 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. And by the way, I want to mention something. I'm in the process of writing a book and putting one together, and there's another one that I have decided I really want to move forward with, and that's called Stories That People Tell Me. And people have so many different experiences with psychic areas of the paranormal, and which is basically saying the same thing. But what I would say is, if you have a special story regarding a particular experience of your own and you would like to have it included in the story, the Stories People Tell Me, send it via email to donna@delphiinternational.com. And I will also need your contact information so that I can talk with you if I maybe need to have a few extra details. But this is something I'm going to be compiling and putting together, and I think that it is important for people to know about experiences that other people have been through. And I already have a number of stories, but if you have had a special experience of your own, won't you send me an email? If you'd rather send the story via snail mail, then send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and that would be Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. Well, I'm going to share some details with you about some things that are happening regarding the animal kingdom. But I also have, if we have the time, a recipe for white chocolate ice cream in a cookie cup. Does that make you salivate just a bit? Well, you should see what I'm looking at. And, oh, it is yummy. So get that pad of paper and pen handy because we'll be chatting about that, too. And I'll be sharing that with you. But if you want to talk with me directly, 888-815-9756. One of my guests, oh, I think it was a year ago, was a woman that did research in Canada with her husband regarding wolves and other animal species. She told me a story about ravens and how they interact with wolves. When I came across this commentary by Andrew Grant, I thought, this is really interesting, how some people will see things with their eyes and will be able to actually experience it. Others have to go through research and testing to be able to find out what others have known for a long time. Now, game theory is a branch of mathematics. It's best known for, well, exploring money, economics. But they have started applying game theory to animal behavior in nature. Now, it was used, and in the process of using the game theory, a forecast was made talking about the foraging strategy for ravens that actually was finally observed in the wild. Now, what is game theory? Well, it analyzes how people or animals act in situations where an individual's success depends on both his or her decisions as well as those of other people around them. Now, in 2002, Sasha Dahl, a mathematical ecologist at the University of Exeter in England, she used the game theory model to explain why young ravens, crows, scout for carrion alone, but then recruit other birds to join the feast. And she said, this is an altruistic behavior. It's a sensible one in her evaluation, or in his evaluations, because it helps the scout fight off the territorial birds, the adults, and actually sort of become the idol for the younger ones that are benefiting from this particular scout's discovery. Also, Dahl's model predicted something else that was considered a successful strategy, one that to that date, had never been observed among ravens and crows, and that's gang foraging, in which a large group of birds scavenge together. Well, within the year after this evaluation had been done, there was a behavioral ecologist, Jonathan Wright, of the Norwegian University of Science and Technology. He was out in the field, found out about this. In fact, he tracked ravens and crows in North Wales by implanting carcasses with different colored beads. The birds, when they were eating, would ingest the beads and later would cough them up. And they found, when they analyzed the beads, that some of the ravens in the roosts were searching, eating, and benefiting together, just as this research study in 2002 by Dahl had anticipated. Now, what they did, they finally decided they were going to come together. They realized they had found similar findings. And just this year, they decided that this was worthy of publishing. And Charles Darwin, a long time ago, said that animal teamwork could make evolutionary sense for groups, but the research of these two people, Wright and Dahl, showed that joint efforts can pay off even in situations that emphasize the role of individual success. He said, ravens are smart, they're also selfish, but there's a lot more stability in cooperation. Ravens actually will go and use wolves. They know the wolf packs. They will go and they will tell the wolves where a carcass is so that the wolves will go and crunch the bones that they cannot break open so that they can feed on the marrow. I'd say that is pretty intelligent, wouldn't you? This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're almost out of time. I guess I'll just have to share that wonderful white chocolate ice cream in a chocolate cookie cup with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There is so much in this world to experience. Don't ignore that greater wisdom that's inside of you. It's what we call the intuitive self. It has so much to share with you, and all you have to do is be willing to pay attention, be observant, and ask the right questions and you're going to be amazed at how rich your life will be. Meanwhile, enjoy the richness of wherever you are, and we'll be back here, same time, same place tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.